Welcome to today's live interview here on Brightown.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brightown, and I'm joined in studio today by a very special guest, Ann Vandersteel. Her show is called Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. She's a featured host on Brightown.tv and has her own shows and is hosting InfoWars and doing a lot of other things. She and Michael Yon have been on the border, Texas border with Mexico, and she's got a lot of intel to share with us today. Welcome to the studio, Anne. It's great to have you here for the first time ever in person.
I know, it's fantastic. And what a beautiful studio you have indeed. Congratulations on everything you're building out here.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, look, we have to give credit to Bob Denny and the Brightown TV team.
That's right.
As well, it wouldn't be possible without them. But yeah, we've been here running for quite some time, but you've been running across, you know, out around the border for real. You and Michael Yon, who's going to be joining us here in a minute, and tell us what you're seeing. I mean, how bad is the situation?
You know, it's really sad, Mike, because America is such a beautiful country. God's tapestry has been tainted by the fact our federal government, which is nothing but a bunch of demon scoundrels of public-private partnerships raping and pillaging their way through our wallets, has basically abandoned their responsibilities of the tax dollars to take care of our country. And the infrastructure is terrible. Cities are raped and pillaged. People are broke. The open border policy is decimating our cities with crime and with immigrants that are a tax burden on everybody. But they're also bringing disease in. And Michael Yon and I put together Operation Burning Edge because America is burning. The flag, the fringes of our flag are aflame. And freedom is almost, you know, extinguished at this point. So what we decided to do was, you know, basically take advantage of the information that Michael has aggregated in his trips around the world, looking at what's going over in Europe, over in Holland and Belgium and, you know, the tri-state cities that they're building, which is a new global world order's headquarters, if you will.
Yes.
In addition to the travels he's done down in the Darien Gap numerous times, watching the migrant flows, where they're coming from, the fact that the Venezuelan ambassador to Iran is rubber stamping Iranians with Venezuelan passports and sending them up through the border. And then, of course, watching this migrant flow and analyzing what's happening right here in Texas, we decided to start at SpaceX and move westward over the course of August. But somewhere along our journey in McAllen, Texas, we had a little bit of a mission change where we decided to pivot into the child trafficking area. And the reason being is we had actionable intelligence presented to us thanks to the producer Ryan Matta for Kyle Serafin's show. He connected us with Carlos Arellano, who's a federal whistleblower that has worked in the non-governmental organization space since 2016. And that's all he's done. And he had unbelievable intelligence about these massive NGOs like Southwest Key Programs, SLS, MVN. These are all big NGOs that warehouse, like in concentration camps, children from 5 months of age through the age of 18 by the hundreds of thousands around the country. But what's even more
Right here in the United States.
Right here in the United States.
Warehousing children who have been trafficked across the border.
Absolutely trafficked, groomed and trafficked, lured here for PlayStations and air conditioning and a better life and all sorts of, you know, tantalizing, you know, things for the children that they don't have where they come from. But they're being lured here and then they're held in these warehouses because these NGOs are making billions of dollars. Basically holding these kids hostage, if you will, and then moving them from facility to facility around the country. And then sometimes, sadly to say, Mike, and this is why you're hearing numbers from the Biden regime about 350,000 kids with 85,000 missing. Well, the numbers are bigger than that. But these children are being removed from the warehouses and they're being placed into homes around the country. But what's most disconcerting is that the people's homes in which they're going are illegal aliens. So that takes them out of the federal register. So they're off the grid, essentially, and they're lost. And the reports we're getting back from these children is they're being pimped out and sex trafficked.
Right.
So it's just a horrific human rights violation financed by the federal government, your tax dollars at work. And, Joe Biden is the largest purveyor of human trafficking with his cohort.
And Mayorkas.
Mayorkas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Groomed from the Obama regime.
This is extraordinary what you're reporting here. And again, this isn't just, you know, secondhand, thirdhand information. You and Michael Yon have been talking directly with people who have, you know, firsthand eyewitnesses and knowledge of this and whistleblowers in many cases.
Right.
And you also documented, I believe, that there's a city being built in Texas for illegals.
That's right. We've now called it Abbott City because Trey Harris, who's behind the development down in northeast Houston in Liberty County, it's a giant multi-phase development that is done most haphazardly. In fact, we had somebody who's is a subcontractor in DHS, but also develops property and looked at this facility and says, this is not developed like normal developments. Usually banks will finance phase one, and as that starts to build out, they'll finance phase two and so on and so forth. But instead, they have all multi-phases going at once. They're moving dirt around in somewhat of an unrandom or random fashion. You see a lot of machinery out there just doing stuff with nothing inside of it. It's just sort of like they're clocking miles so they can launder the money through these contracts. But they are slumlord conditions. You have trailers with MS-13 gang symbols on there. You'll have many of those. Then all of a sudden, a really nice house will pop up in the middle of that complete slumlord condition, as if that's sort of the kingpin's house. And it's disconcerting from the air, because you're looking at 30, 40 square miles of something that's right next to the Woodlands in Texas, which is a very nice community. And this is built specifically for illegals to be in there. And because of the way it's being financed through the owners buying lots in there with high interest rates, when the owners go belly up, the illegals, that is, the developer takes it back and sells it to the next person who improves that property and improves that property. And eventually this developer is going to capitalize so much so on all the improvements made that they'll be able to flip this around into something else. But more concerning is the fact that Abbott knows it's there. He's taken $1.4 million from Trey Harris in campaign contributions. And he was recently in McAllen, Texas, where we witnessed him talking with the mayor of McAllen about the expansion of the international bridge going into Mexico, encouraging the trade of produce and agriculture coming in from Mexico with appeal on there, as you are well familiar with that. Meanwhile, the farmers in McAllen, Texas are battling back whether or not their agriculture is going to get paved over because of the tax incentives to have retail and commercial property versus the ag property.
But what else is concerning about this is it functions really as kind of a beachhead for illegals to occupy Texas.
It does.
And then from there, I mean, I don't know how many people can fit in this city eventually. What could it be?
It's about 200,000.
200,000?
In just this Colonia or just this Abbott City. But there's more Colonias that are popping up all over Texas. This is not just outside Houston. You are seeing them pop up. As we were going westward, looking at the map towards El Paso, we could see Colonias outside Laredo, outside Roma, and on the way. So this is not a one-off situation. This is because we have such an influx of illegal migrants. And Customs and Border Protection, Mike, are just basically the hand holders to hand them off to these NGOs and process them and look the other way. They're
that's
getting
right,
paid
right.
to traffic the people in.
I want to mention your website first. It's called rightnow.news is where you can find Ann Vandersteel's shows and links, including to her show on brighttown.tv, which is extremely well produced, very popular. People are loving the show. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback about it. And you do an excellent job. I don't even know how you gather all this intel so quickly and package it all together. But I also want to mention, then back to our story, in Lahaina, in Maui, you know, so they're burning out Americans and burning their children alive, right? Shut off the water, call off the fire department, don't activate the sirens, make sure everybody dies. And then the government comes in and says, oh, we're going to seize that land from you.
Right.
Meanwhile, illegals have cities being built for them.
Right.
So it's very clear, if you're an American, even a native Hawaiian American, you have been slated for termination.
Right.
And for your property to be confiscated by the empire that is replacing you.
That's right. Again, this goes back to what Joe Biden signed on January 10th of this year, 2023, right? He signed the North American Declaration, which ostensibly is dissolving the borders between Canada and Mexico. So Canada, United States, and Mexico are one big homogenized continent. That's it. It's one big country, and it's about the free flow of the migrant population in and out. Of course, we know they're the replacement population. The World Economic Forum's playbook is all about artificial intelligence, transhumanism, and the people that have white-collar jobs can be replaced with AI. I know people out there today, journalists, I hate to say it, are using AI to write their own books. And again, these are the same journalists that are reporting on how bad AI is in the fact that people can use it to write their own book. So, you know, if we are going to be true to our values, we have to say no to everything they're putting in front of us. We have to start using their technology against them, which is why what you do here is so important, the Bridie on TV network. We have to capitalize on the ability to have a free speech platform standing alone in a parallel economy. What the Department of Homeland Security has done in terms of dissolving the borders in conjunction with Joe Biden, in conjunction with the Bank of International Settlements, which is financing the WEF and all of these UN propagandists out there, we have got to stand up and do the parallel economy. And again, I heard Vivek Ramaswamy earlier today on Alex Jones's show, where we just came from shooting that show, talk about this is 1776 all over again.
Yeah.
We need that revolution. I've been calling it a retrolution now for 2 years for fear the FBI is going to bang down my door for saying the R word. But frankly, a revolution doesn't have to be violent. It can be a revolution of ideas and of ideologies and of government. And our founding fathers made that very clear in the Declaration of Independence. There is a time when we need to alter or abolish. And right now we need to alter and abolish what we have because it's not working for us. It's only working for a very select few.
Well, you're exactly right that it's not working, and that's all by design. And it's very clear now, in fact, Alex Jones was just reporting on this, that they're going to be pushing another wave of COVID, mass hysteria, and you know, more masking, more lockdowns, more mandatory vaccines, and most importantly, for the 2024 election, mandatory mail-in ballots nationwide,
right,
so that the Democrats can rig the whole thing again. They're just going to run the playbook over again.
Right.
This is the only way they can maintain power because they can't win in a fair election, as you know. So do you think that it's going to be effective, or will there be too much resistance now because so many people have awakened to the plandemic fraud that we just lived through?
Well, again, people are awake to the plandemic fraud. I mean, there's been lots of reporting on that. Sound of Freedom just came out. People understand child sex trafficking is real. It really happens. But I don't see the outrage yet. They talk about it at the cocktail parties, and they talk about it in the line at supermarkets and whatnot. But people aren't showing up. So that's one of the reasons that Michael and I are going to really dive deep on this human trafficking, and specifically child sex trafficking, is we're going to start identifying. Alex has given us his platform next week for the entire 4 hours to start showing people where these facilities are so that if people really want to get outraged, they can show up and protest. They can go to these homes and say, what are you doing with these children there? We have to start exposing this stuff. But sadly, you know what, Mike, you know, and these are all things that we understand the playbook of the past and we can predict the future. So the fact that they're going to lock us down and do mail-in voting to me is not a surprise. I've been predicting that for 2 years. We could see that coming. That was the only way they'll win. What we need to do now is we need to help hasten this bank collapse. And the fact that Fitch is out there reporting that, you know, Goldman Sachs and thank God JP Morgan are unstable, and yet they're into the trillions and trillions of dollars of bad debt right now because they don't have the gold to back up the ETFs they've been pushing.
Right.
They're going to collapse. Again, predictable. It has to happen. And once that happens, just like President Trump has used the power of trade in the wallet to keep countries from going into full-blown civil war, or excuse me, World War III, we're going to be able to use the power of the wallet to basically get people off their chairs, off from behind the keyboards, and start to take action. But we have to take action in a sane and civilized fashion akin to what our Constitution defines. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a big supporter of what David Zuniga has started with tacticalcivics.com, getting people mobilized into citizen grand juries and constitutionally supported Second Amendment militias, not the kind that go out and start a war, the kind that defend and protect your rights. And when your sheriff doesn't stand up for your rights, when an indictment has been leveled by a grand jury and the sheriff won't make the arrest, well, we need that militia to do that. They go and act in place of the sheriff. They're the true law enforcement of, by, and for the people. We've got to get back to the basics. And the sooner Americans realize that, the better. And I think the banking collapse will actually hasten that sort of thinking.
You know, let's talk about the banking collapse, because you were saying really that there needs to be a hastening of the collapse of the fiat currency system. And I tend to agree that there's so much evil associated with money printing and the dollar that the only way that evil ever ends is if their ability to keep printing that currency also ends, which is coming. But were you aware that Evergrande just filed for bankruptcy in the United States, Chapter 15 bankruptcy, and that most of the debt that Evergrande, you know, the Chinese property developer, I know you know right. this, but just for our audience, most of the debt that they issued was actually issued to U.S. and European banks and institutional investors and some, you know, retirement funds and so on, which means that this bankruptcy filing in the U.S. is going to cause essentially a default on those debt obligations. And we're going to have a ripple effect of
right.
hundreds of billions of dollars now
right.
through the Western banking system because of the Evergrande property Ponzi scheme collapsing
right.
in China. And that clock just started ticking.
Right. Well, how many other opportunities, I'm going to call it an opportunity. How many other opportunities are like that out there right now to help hasten the collapse of the banking system that is built on fiat currency to begin with? And the fact that the Chinese were able to put that into our shoulders and we're basically going to bear the brunt of that, right? We're going to take that right in the kisser because they got us to finance everything for them. And this is what they've been very, very good at. This is called fifth generation warfare. This is just one aspect of the war they're waging, whether it's the chemical jihad or the fentanyl and the precursors to fentanyl coming through Mexico and being sold into our country, slaughtering hundreds of thousands of American, whether it's the Chinese military that are coming across the border, whether it's the Chinese that are already installed here that have been stealing our IP and sending it overseas back to China for them to profit and make, you know, billions of dollars on, or, you know, whatever it is, this is all part of their plan. So yes, that's going to be one aspect of the ripple effect. And it's going to also dovetail. I think JP Morgan, I predicted this a year ago, that JP Morgan would be the ultimate pinnacle bank to collapse. And it has to be, because they were the same bank that managed not to get on the Titanic. The original JP Morgan sidestepped the Titanic when that ship sank.
And they also did business with Jeffrey Epstein.
And he did business with Jeffrey Epstein. Yep. And look at what happened. Jim Crown, right, who was also on the board of J.P. Morgan, also very familiar with Jeffrey Epstein. He died in a single car accident.
Oh, that's right.
In Aspen, when the day after we left, as a matter of fact. We left Aspen. He died. We had just prayed in downtown Aspen with Lindell TV's crew. We were praying in the open with lots of people in the park there that day, saying we need to reclaim Aspen back for good. And the next day, the head of the snake in Aspen of the Aspen Institute, Jim Crown, died, who's also on the board for JP Morgan. So these are the things that are, oddly enough, this war that's going on between the good hats and the bad hats, the white hats, the black hats, it's really real, but it's being facilitated also by people like you and me and many others that are out here helping expose all this information, which is putting pressure on these bad people to act in haste and make decisions that are not helpful to them. And I think President Trump actually really facilitated getting COVID into the public ethos. I disagree with him on the vaccines 100%, and I'm still waiting for him to say something about that, because he has the information now. But again, he did push hydroxychloroquine first. He did push ivermectin. He pushed alternative therapy. So you can't hold him 100%. He didn't mandate any of it. But, you know, come on, let's own up to the fact that people are dying.
Well, I completely agree with you that the establishment is getting sloppy.
They are.
Because they're rushed. I mean, even back to the Lahaina fires.
Right.
It was so sloppy. You know, that book was released on Amazon on August 10th.
I know.
Called Fire and Fury. You know, the book that claims it does this deep analysis of
did ChatGPT do that
everything.
Analysis?
I'm telling you, no. I mean, it's supposed to be by a PhD. Clearly, it would have taken months to write a book like that.
Right.
Right. But they released it before the fires even finished burning out the children of Lahaina. And so what it tells you is they got sloppy. They're leaving behind too many trails. The timing is off. The book should have been delayed, obviously, until after the fires. They got caught not sounding the sirens. There are reports now that people are receiving eviction notices. The governor of Hawaii signed an executive order to allow him to seize the property from Lahaina and then to eventually turn it over to wealthy property developers that are going to donate to his campaign. It's just, these signs are so obvious now. You know, remember the Barack Obama days? Obama was not a low IQ false flag operator. I mean, Obama's false flags were pretty clever. They covered up all the loose ends, you know. They pulled off a lot of false flags, a lot of shootings and all kinds of things, but they covered it up quite expertly. Today, the incompetence of the Biden regime is really showing in the fact that they can't even fake these events with a sense of competence.
No, they can't. But at the same token, they do it without impunity, because where do we hold them accountable, Mike? We don't have a court system.
Well, right.
I mean, they really know that they can be so in your face. What did he say today? Biden said something about we are laser focused. Actually, it was the other day. We're in a tweet. We're laser focused and we're going to give everybody $700. Meanwhile, billions is going to Ukraine.
Right.
Are you kidding me? That is such an insult to these people. I mean, I am so offended for the people of Lahaina that have lost everything. Front Street is wiped out. We're talking about generations of Hawaiians that have lived there. They passed their property down and down and down. They don't care about property values. They care about the sanctity of the heritage of what their family has developed on that particular part of the island.
Right.
And the fact that he's offering $700 and now the governor is going to basically eminently domain this property for the state. Of course, Oprah's estate and Ellison's estate and everybody else that's out there, nobody lost anything. None of the wealthy, the uber rich, the uber elite, the true demons, they are unscathed. So again, we don't have somewhere to in this current system to go and get justice, but we do. It's called the Declaration of Independence and it's called the Constitution. We have to get back to the basics. We basically offshored that to our corporate representatives, if you can even call them representatives, or your corporate congressman, your corporate senator, we have offshored the responsibility of governing ourselves to people that were selected and we never really elected them. Well, we've got to pull it back. We've got to atone for those sins that we haven't done our civic duty.
What do you think about rising calls for peaceful secession, and including in Hawaii now, because in the aftermath of this, I've never seen more Native Hawaiians actually speaking out and talking about how they now realize that they're an occupied nation, you know, since 1959, when it joined the Union through a referendum, which probably was rigged. You know, vote fraud goes all the way back decades.
Right.
But, you know, before that, it was, I think, King Kamehameha, and it was the Polynesian descendants that had their own island nation taken over by the U.S. Empire as a military base, an intelligence base, to control the people. And now the empire is murdering the Native Hawaiian people. And a lot of Hawaiians are waking up, even though they tend to vote Democrat in every election. Now, many are starting to question that. Do you think that talk of secession will continue to spread, even in Texas and other places?
You know, I love this conversation. This is one of my favorite topics. I'm a state national, and I seceded from the United States. I simply removed that status from my name. I'm now an American. That's what we all are fundamentally. We're all Americans. And, you know, if you want to look at history and you really want to talk about secession, you got to go back to 1868. Post the Civil War, during the Reconstruction period, the Union was getting the band back together. We were merging back with the South. And, you know, the Union said, if you want to be part of our club, we're going to have to join the United States. Okay, so we're going to become U.S. citizens. The 14th Amendment will be passed and ratified. 41% of the states said, no, we're Americans. We were a union of states collectively. We traded with each other freely. And we formed the federal government just to take care of 17 essential services, mainly our self-defense from enemies, foreign and domestic, post office, postal roads, treasury, etc. They were forced into it. 41% fought it. They fought it. Finally, New Jersey and Ohio were the last two states standing that said hard no. What did they do to those state legislators? They replaced all of them. So the Crown was very much facilitating this because they were trying to get us back in the War of 1812, right? The Civil War then started about the debt accruing from the Revolutionary and the Civil and the 1812 War. That's what that was about. So the Crown offensively got us to get together under a U.S. moniker of being, you know, U.S. citizens with the privileges of voting, okay? It was another, like, doublespeak. We were electing people before 1868. We were electing our public servants as Americans. Now we're voting as U.S. citizens. Well, 3 years later in 1871, the Organic Act of 1871 incorporated that 10 square miles, called it the USDC, United States District of Columbia. That was the corporation. It's gotten the name United States, USA. It's had a lot of different names. But that corporation was then, you pair that with the Bar Association, which also stood up in 1871. You now see that sick partnership between the corporation and the bar, the attorneys, right? And of course, the original 13th Amendment was modified in 1865 to go from saying that no titles of nobility shall serve in Congress or public service to freeing the slaves and involuntary servitude. So they've really done us such a major disservice. They have obfuscated the truth of all of this in our history books. But we need to know who we are in order for us to know where we're going. And we don't really know who we are because everything we know today is a lie. Mm-hmm. Our history is a lie, yep. Mike. We've got to correct the history so that we can move forward. And once you understand who we really are, you know that the North American Declaration of homogenizing all three countries from Canada to Mexico and the United States is not what being a nation is about. There's a reason God made us all in different colors and put us on different continents and speaking different dialects. It's because he wants us in his image, but to be beautiful with culture. Who wants to go to France and speak English and eat French fries in McDonald's?
Well,
I don't.
American tourists do.
Well, and look at the size of the American tourists with the food poisoning.
Yeah, no kidding. But by the way, on the point that you're mentioning here, you're exactly right. And the European Union as an experiment has failed.
Absolutely.
And Western Europe is done.
They're done.
As a civilization, by the way. I mean, the United Kingdom, so-called United Kingdom, everybody wants out.
Yeah.
And their military is a joke now, to the point where they can't even fight 1 week of Russia. I mean, and this is from their own military experts saying this. We can't fight 1 week.
You know, Tara Reid, the Biden whistleblower, was talking with Kyle Serafin's producer the other day. She was in the green room ready to go on. And he said, Ann, you're not going to believe this. I'm talking to Tara Reid. She sought asylum over in Russia. And she's saying how the middle class over there is wealthy beyond imagine. And everybody is happy, skinny, beautiful, and successful. He's like, it's like looking at America 1950. basically is what she's saying. And today, well, what are we? Americans have become what Russia was in 1970 during the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah.
We're out of control. We are a bunch of freak transhumanists that, posting CRT in the classroom, and we're pushing, trans behavior, and you're a toaster and you're not really a girl, you're a cis, whatever that is. I mean, it's just so the mind screw that they're doing to our youth and have been for so long has put us where we are today.
It's completely insane. Are you familiar with the Duran channel, Alex Christofaru?
No.
He lives in Greece, but he's an American, and he was recently in Moscow.
Okay.
And he was filming. He was doing a walk and talk kind of filming. And it was incredible how clean Moscow. Well, I mean, talk about a clean city. And I made a comment, and then some of the people that listen to me who have been to Russia recently, they say, oh, yeah, Russia is modern, advanced. The cities are gleaming. They're clean. They're beautiful. America's cities look like they've been a bombed out third world nation
right
at this point.
That's right.
And yet the American people are told that America is advanced and Russia is collapsing.
No.
It's exactly the opposite.
That's exactly
America right. is in a state of accelerating collapse. What do you think the next big trigger point is going to be where the cities just become unlivable?
Well, food. Once the food is done, it's done. And again, we're learning that tuberculosis, multi-drug resistant strains of tuberculosis are coming in with the migrant population. That tuberculosis can jump from human to animal and animal to human. So we already are seeing migrants deliver TB into the cattle industry in Texas right here.
That's right.
Texas unfortunately, you guys are at the risk of losing your TB-free status for your cattle industry here. And if that happens, that's going to be a massive impact. It's about an $18 billion a year economy in terms of Texas cattle. So that'll be huge if you guys lose that. But it's also being fed into, thanks to Governor Abbott, the WEF candidate that he is, busing these migrants all over the country. It sounds good on paper. Oh, yeah, you take them in Chicago, you take them in Boston. But guess what? They're also going to Des Moines, Iowa, where there's dairy industry up there, and they're right. giving TB to the dairy cattle. My beef supplier at Lights Out told me that at Lights Out Beef, they said, Ann, expect a 30% increase in the price of beef come October. Why? Because tens of thousands of cattle are being slaughtered right now because they have TB. And as soon as that happens, you've got to get rid of the cattle. And it's not just the TB. It's dengue virus. It's typhus. We've got so much happening in terms of this fifth generation war of everything being attacking us at once. Americans don't know where to turn, but again, the turning point, the breaking point is the banking collapse. And I predict that's going to be somewhere around the time they start to lock us down again, because they don't want us going to empty the banks out. They don't want that
right.
panic and pandemonium.
Exactly.
They're going to have to control the masses. So lock us down with another masking episode. As Alex broke today, we're going to see that in October. I think the banking collapse is right around the corner.
I am scrambling with my company here because, we have to have millions of dollars of cash flow in and out in order to buy the raw materials and manufacture the food and ship the food and everything. And we can't function without liquidity in the banks.
Right.
And yet I know a day is coming when we lose everything that's exposed that way.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you run a business while minimizing cash in the banks and yet still, serving your customers and doing what needs to be done to get food into the hands of people? It's a life-saving measure at this point.
It is, but again, you may be able to, let's say you figure out a way to survive that, you have another alternative parallel economy to survive that cash liquidity process. What about all of the suppliers, the transportation suppliers that move your goods around? They don't have that set up. So it doesn't matter. You may have a warehouse full of stuff that you can keep bringing in. How are you gonna get it out? This is a complete collapse of our economy. People don't understand what's coming. They think an EMP is going to be the be all end all. It's going to end all the power. They don't even need to kill the power grid. They can completely kneecap us with transportation.
That's
and
right.
that stops all goods and services. And having spent time with truckers and doing the People's Convoy last year for 3 weeks embedded, they're great people. They're great Americans.
Oh,
they
yeah.
understand what's at risk. And frankly, they're disappointed in Americans because they made a big show, a lot of them at their own time and dime, to do that big trip and get everybody amped up and educated. But what have we done about it? We haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And Congress has done zero, just like they've done zero with the information from Tara Rodas.
Okay, last question, Ann, for today. But I just want to remind people to check out your website, rightnow.news. That's your show Right Now with Ann Vandersteel on Brighttown TV. Do you think it's too late to save America as we know it? Or are we just going to have to go through this collapse and then try to rebuild in the American spirit? Or can we turn this around still?
I'm an optimist. I really am. But I'm also a parent of three children. And how many times have I told my kids when they were little, you know, don't do this or don't do that. You don't want to touch that stove. Every one of them got burned. And America is at that burning stove moment. They're going to get burned. And if they're not prepared, if they haven't been listening to you and getting their food preparations, if they haven't been stockpiling gold and silver and having cash available, they're going to get burned. But it doesn't matter if you still have those things, you're going to get burned because your friends and family won't be prepared.
That's right.
So it's going to hurt everybody. There's no way around it. It's just going to get ugly. But, you know, it depends. If America can have the will to start doing what I think is necessary, which is, I say, tactical civics. I think what they're doing, talking about, you know, getting these chapters in every county, 705 already. I think if you consider tacticalcivics.com as a way to organize and set up grand juries and just take matters into our own hands and say, we're not going to listen to you. I said this numerous times. You know, I wish that in Arizona, we'd had a better outcome, obviously. But unfortunately, Carrie Lake didn't stand up and say, I'm the governor. She should have just taken it. She should have just taken the governorship and said, I am the governor. That lady over there, she's de facto, she's fake. We're not going to pay attention to what Katie Hobbs or anybody else over there says. I'm here. Who's with me? I guarantee you 90% of Arizona would have been with Carrie Lake.
You make a really great point. At some point, you just have to assert the people's
will.
Rightful power politically,
right.
Because you actually did win the election. And if we sit around waiting for the corrupt criminal establishment to ever recognize our election victories, that's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. We have to assert what we know is rightfully ours. It's enumerated. Our powers are enumerated very clearly in the Constitution. We have the right. It's written in plain English. There's no legalese in that document, by the way. You can read it very simply. So Americans need to assert their constitutional rights. We need to stand up. Read your state constitution. In there, it will tell you that whenever that we decide we don't want who's representing us out, we can take them out. It doesn't say every 2 or 4 years. It says whenever. And that's in every single state constitution.
But just to be clear, when you say we can take them out, you mean at the election, at the ballot box.
Oh, we can remove them from office, not violently.
You're not talking about violence. Yeah,
No. So no, I would never, I'm not advocating any violence. A revolution to me can be peacefully done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about through legal means, through—
Lawful.
Through the people's due process.
Right.
And, you know, the people can self-assemble their own sheriff.
Yes.
Their own sheriff's deputies, their own— essentially their own law enforcement at the county level.
That's right.
That's actually part of how the Constitution is composed.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, Anne, you have a lot of great information. You're doing amazing work for America. I know you're very busy, and we really appreciate you stopping by and sharing this intel with us. And I know you have a lot more in your show. And you're also hosting Alex Jones next week.
Yep. Michael Yon and I next week. And you'll be on with us. You've already committed.
Oh, okay. is it Wednesday or Thursday? Or we're not sure yet.
We're not sure yet. Michael Yon will be getting that, but we'll let you know.
Okay. All right. So that's it, folks. Then Anne Vandersteel and she and Michael Yon will be hosting Infowars.com. I think the entire show, all 4 hours, coming up next week. And feel free to share this interview, of course, this video file. You can repost it on other platforms. And thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams with Anne Vandersteel in studio here near Austin, Texas. Take care, everybody, and thank you, Anne.
Thank you.
So, Michael, I know the Satellite Phone Store, which has been our sponsor for quite some time, they've provided you quite a bit of gear, SAT123.com, for those who want to go visit the website. Can you tell us about how you're using that gear in your travels and you know, in your journalism efforts and your war correspondent efforts?
Oh, yeah. The satellite radios that sat123.com provided were vital. As you know, I'm down in Darien a lot. That's why my Darien Gap in the jungles. That's why my Twitter handle is Michael Yon Jungle.
Right.
And the problem with jungles and radios is they just don't mix well together for many reasons. And so at one point last year, I had a team down there on the ground and we couldn't make comms. So I had to charter an airplane to get over the top of them to reach them. It was like, you know, PBR Street Gang, this is almighty. You know what I mean? Talking to, you know, trying to make comms through the trees, right? Anyway, then I contacted you about, you know, more high-tech radios that we can use that, you know, things have changed since I was in Special Forces. And so you mentioned sat123.com and they provided 5 satellite radios that are really awesome. And so now so that people understand how this works, it's a walkie-talkie, not a sat phone, but it's a walkie-talkie that goes, hits the satellite.
It's a push-to-talk. It's a PTT.
And it's awesome because we're just using them I'm often on the Texas-Mexican border as well.
Yep.
And down there's a lot of places that have no cell coverage.
That's right.
And if you got regular walkie-talkies, PTTs, I mean, they're good for 2 or 3 miles or whatever. They're line of sight, but often it's hill over dale and you really... you need something better. And the phones are too slow, or they just don't work. So we were just using five radios down. We got little magnetic antennas for the roofs of the vehicles. And you can screw in the antenna when you're just walking out.
And so just so our audience knows, all you need is a clear view of the sky.
That's it. And even in the jungle, that's easy to get.
Exactly. If you're just looking straight up, you can see the sky.
Yep.
You just can't see horizontally across the jungle through the thick of it.
Yeah. It's easy to find a clear sky in the jungle because usually you're near a river and the rivers have always a clear view of the sky.
Right.
I mean, if it's a significant river.
Good point. Good point. So what about the battery life? Are they holding battery life well?
So well that none have even come close to wearing out.
I
mean,
is that right?
It's not, it hasn't been... I mean, every time I check it, it's still almost full.
And so, yeah, do you
it's
have?
It's not like we use them a lot. We're not like, you know, communicating hours on end. We're just like, hey, meet me at such and such and that sort of thing.
And then, do you have all five on the same group where one person says something and the other four hear the same thing?
Yeah, that's you. Okay, you can do them in different ways.
Yes.
And so they come in a group of five radios and you go onto the website and you. So I could talk with somebody in Tokyo with these, but you have to put a bubble around the area of that radio, right?
Right. You so have to define the geographic boundary.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's say we're here and then there's somebody in Tokyo and somebody in South Africa and somebody in Australia. We can talk in the same chat group or same voice group as long as we define where all the radios are.
Right.
And it only takes like a minute to define them.
Yeah. And you can define a pretty big area. I've defined an area of like pretty much all of Central Texas, all the way up to Dallas, Fort Worth, down to San Antonio.
Right.
For my group.
And if you leave the group, just redefine it. But again, yeah. Once you've done it just a few times, you can do it in 30 seconds or a minute. I mean, it's basically like sending, it's not sending an email. You just go in there, click, 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 click. Okay, there's my boundaries.
Yeah.
Close.
You just log in.
Yeah. And it's done.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I'm really excited that you're finding a lot of practical uses for this technology because, you know, the satellite phone company they've donated a lot of gear to a lot of people, including some people who are right now doing rescue work in the Lahaina, Maui fires.
I was just wondering when that fire happened and they had no comms,
uh-huh.
If they had these radios, yep. I know the ham radios were working because we immediately checked which ham radios were working, but that's not enough to, at least for your family, you can have some comms that work.
Right.
But keep in mind, Hawaii, where I've spent significant time, lots of mountains, right? So, I mean, a regular PTT, a regular walkie-talkies, you know, line of sight.
Right. I mean, every island is a giant mountain.
Basically.
And so you can't talk to the other side of the island on a regular radio.
Yep.
You got to have the sat radio to work.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just go on their website and look.
All right. Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that real world experience with the gear. And for those of you who want to check this out for yourself, go to sat123.com. And they've got both the satellite radios and also the Bivy sticks, which is the two-way satellite text messaging devices that are even more affordable, by the way. So if you're, if you have to leave because your town has been burned out by a terrorist government, then you can actually text your family members and tell them you're okay. And you can even give them your location, GPS, everything, for a rescue attempt. For example.
I've not used the Bivy stick, but I've heard quite a few people say they're awesome.
I mean, I've got one in my car right now. I can show
it to you. I'd like to see it.
Yeah. They're super useful. And my buddies that work the border, the Texas border, is part of the interdicting human trafficking. And I think you know some of the guys. They run those Bivy sticks all the time. And they turn on the location tracking on purpose so that one small team, like two or three guys, can monitor the location of another team that's actually interdicting a group of human traffickers. To make sure that they're okay, if something happens to that team, you've got GPS coordinates and you can call in assistance via GPS.
Right.
Right. So they're very useful and you just clip them onto your gear, they're super lightweight and the batteries last days. So they're really great.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to getting back down on the border. And again, sometimes the only way we communicate is with devices like this.
Yep.
Actually, I need to put one of these radios in your location so when I'm down in the jungles, I can actually reach you.
Yeah, well, I've already got some radios. I could just join your group, I think.
Oh, we'll do that.
Yeah, we could just combine our teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Wonder Twin powers. Activate.
Wonder Twin.
All right. Well, thanks for watching, everybody. Mike Adams here with Michael Yan at the Brighteon Studios in Central Texas.